My name is Alan Fox, in case we haven't met yet, and I'm here with Sylvia, my wife. You would probably say Sylvia, but that's okay. I speak English, you speak American. Somehow we'll find each other along the way. We're here in the United States, as we do periodically, about every 3 years, to come back and give a report to the churches that support us in preaching the Word of God in Johannesburg, South Africa. That's where Sylvia and I live. We have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. And I'd like to introduce them to you in the course of our presentation. And afterwards, if you have any questions for me, you can direct them to Sylvia. I'm sure she would be able to help you out with that. Let me say, first of all, how thankful we are for the support that you brethren are giving us. You know, as we go throughout the United States, and on this trip, we started off in Vancouver, British Columbia, and traveled all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. Your West Coast to your East Coast, really. And then started off in North Carolina, went to Virginia and Maryland and Indiana and Tennessee and Fayetteville, Arkansas, and New Mexico and Texas. And then we came to Alabama. We still have about half of our trip left. So we certainly need your prayers as we travel on the wrong side of the road. We drive on the right side of the road. I suppose the opposite of that, you would be on the wrong side of the road. So it's a challenge, but we manage. We haven't been pulled over by any traffic officer yet. I don't know what I'll say to him, but we'll sort that out when we get to it. Let me start off by presenting or give a presentation of the work that we're involved in by telling you a little bit about our continent called Africa. And I suppose the young people, and I like that they're all sitting together like that, so if I make a point particularly applicable to you, I'll just go like so. Oh, all right. That the young people would know about Africa more than most others. Africa is not a country. Africa is a continent. And the big difference between the two is that on the continent you have countries. And in Africa you have 40-plus independent countries in Africa. And just to give you a sampling of the size, why you could fit the United States into our continent and Canada and some of Mexico as well. So we have a huge continent. Okay, so if we take the, if you can see it there, if I draw a line like there and another line just here where Angola is, the top part of Africa is heavily influenced by Islam, by the religion Islam. The middle part, heavily influenced by traditional African beliefs. And then the bottom part here, quite a bit influenced by so-called Christianity, more the denominational part of it. Now, that's not to say that there aren't any Islamic influence at the bottom or there aren't any Christian influence at the top, but it's just predominantly so divided like that. And as I said, all of those countries in Africa are independent countries, all with their unique and different languages. And so, as I go along, I want to tell you about the challenges that we face in evangelism in Africa. And particularly, of course, we're in South Africa. The same or similar problems or challenges present themselves to us. One of it is, of course, that having so many people in this continent, obviously you will get so many different languages. In a country like Nigeria, there are 30 official languages in that country. In ours, only 11. But still, it is a challenge to us. And to illustrate what the challenge means, if you preach to someone and you say, you preach in English, you have to have an interpreter or a translator. And if you say, we're saved by the blood of Christ, unless you know something about that language, your translator can say very much anything that he likes, and you wouldn't be any the wiser. So that is a challenge, and many of the American evangelists that have come over to South Africa have quickly learned to pick up certain key words that they will use over and over when they present a lesson in our country. So that's challenge number one, a unique challenge to us. Of course, you have English as your official language and Spanish as your unofficial language, I believe. So at least you have two, you're bilingual. And so you can understand sometimes when people say, I don't speak English, what to do. Okay, the top one is for, all right, that is a South Africa, a picture of South Africa. And again, I present that honor because so many people don't understand when we say, they say, is the bottom one for going back? The middle one for going back, sorry. When people say, where are you from? And we say, South Africa. They say, where is that? And we say, South Africa? Yeah. So, you know, we're the bottom part, the South Africa. We often say to people in the United States, we're from the South, way South, okay? We drink sweet tea and stuff like that. So, this little province here is called Gauteng. And that's the province that we call them provinces, you call them states. That's the province that Sylvia and I live in. And although it's so small, it's the smallest of all the provinces in South Africa, more people try and pack into it. It is the economic hub of South Africa because there is where you get the gold mines. And if you drive around Johannesburg and the outskirts of Johannesburg, you'll see mounds of sand that they've left from mining the gold from underneath the earth. And so it's quite a rich province that is Gauteng. All of the other provinces, or most of the other provinces, have congregations, faithful, sound congregations in them, apart from this one here. We have a desert about that size, or a semi-desert about that size, in South Africa, which is there. It's called the Kalahari Desert. And so, obviously, you'll find that the population there is sparse. And the churches, I know of just one group of people that meet in Kimberley, which is about there, and they meet in a home, someone's home, and I think there are about three or four Christians there. Kimberley, by the way, is the place where we've dug out diamonds. And when the British had control over our country, they took one of our biggest diamonds and put it into the Queen's crown. And so, you know, that's one of the debts that they owe us, I think. This little white block here is an independent country called Lesotho. That block there is Swaziland, and they're landlocked in South Africa. Once again, we have 11 official languages, and we have 9 provinces. There are about 50 million people in South Africa, and the size of it is about, if you take twice the size of Texas, two Texases next to each other, that would be about the size of South Africa. We'll come back to some of the other things. This is a picture of our grandkids. The reason I put that up there is because my wife made me do it. No. Is to talk about growth. As I do these presentations, I always try and also bring out a message to people and not just tell them about the facts. The message here is growth. We understand growth from a physical point of view. Those were our grandchildren in 2009, and there were five of them, and these are our grandchildren in 2012, and there are now six. And so we can understand that they've grown both in stature and they've grown also in number. And so that's easy to understand. Let me just introduce them to you. That's Jamie Lee, our eldest one, Benita, Tyler, Deshaun, Caden, and then Kira at the bottom. And you can see who's the cute one, I think. That was our family in 2009 when we were here. And again, I think we've grown up a little bit. Again, there's growth. Physical growth is so important to us. If you have a child that at age two says if he'd like some water, and he says Walla, you can understand that. But if he's 16 years of age and he still says Walla, well, you know you have a problem. We can understand growth. It's important to us, and it's necessary so that we can see how that the person has made some progress. That's our older son Desmond, his wife Mary, Alan and Sylvia, our daughter Iona, her husband Jose, and PJ, our son, who has started his college at Florida College this fall semester. That's the congregation at Brixton where we are members of. That was in 2009. And again, that's the congregation in 2012. Again, growth. And I know that, you know, growth in numbers is not always the thing that you look for. But that is the most obvious thing that comes to mind. And certainly this growth has been as far as numbers are concerned, but hopefully also as far as maturity is concerned. Whenever we take a trip to the United States, it gives the young men in our congregation and their wives the opportunity to step forward and do what is necessary to keep things humming along until we come back. And so I think it's an opportunity for us. Brixton Congregation is a congregation made up of different nationalities in South Africa. And we have white and black and brown and Indian and all kinds of colors in between, all kinds of ethnic groups in between as well, all kinds of languages. Most of the people that would come to Johannesburg would be people who come for jobs or for further and higher education. And we have some good universities in Johannesburg. So our congregation, just our services are conducted in English. So if you want to come and visit us, I'm sure you would be able to understand us a little bit because we don't translate as with other congregations. When you go to other congregations, you'll find that in a certain area, a certain ethnic group would be predominant. Like in KwaZulu-Natal, the Zulus, and so Paul Williams would preach in English, there would be a translator into Zulu. That's the way it goes. At Brixton, not so. We also preach to smaller congregations. This was a photo in 2009, I believe. And I think you know Norman Simon, who preached at Rustenburg congregation at that time. Well, from time to time, Sylvia and I would be invited to preach and hold gospel meetings and so on in smaller congregations as well. There's a congregation in Soweto, which is a suburb where mostly black people live. And the previous government, apartheid government, put all black people there. And that has grown to such an extent that there are well over 1.5 million people living there. But I only know of two sound congregations. And as you can see, not very big, you know. So, again, growth is necessary. And, you know, when people hold up your hands, as Aaron and Hur did to Moses, then you can come back to them and say, thank you for what you're doing and for the gospel that is being preached in those areas. I put that slide up now so that I can talk about unity. I've spoken a little bit about growth, and I want to talk about unity. This is Africa, and as you can see, its size in relation to the United States and Mexico. And yet, in all of this, and with all the countries that we have in Africa, we're all considered to be Africans, just Africans. And I guess that's why people think it's just one country, because we're all Africans. Even though we speak different languages, to a great degree, we're united as just Africans. And I think that's an important message to the people of God as well. Though we're different people here, somebody illustrated it by saying, comparing it to crayons in a pack. All different colors, and yet you don't see them fighting. And so in the body of Christ, that's what it has to be. We have to be united, though we're different. And I think our differences, different, you know, sometimes people think different is bad or different is sinful. Well, it isn't so. Different is just different. That's all. You know, and we should learn to capitalize on that as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So, once again, a map of Africa, but to illustrate all of the different nations in it. Again, South Africa, the different nations in there, there are lots and lots of different nations in there. The top province, Limpopo, you get the Vendas and the Shangans. They're closely related to the country that is adjacent to ours, about like so, called Zimbabwe. And maybe you may have heard quite a lot of Zimbabwe, because they've had a tremendous drought in that country. Here in KwaZulu-Natal, mainly Zulus, mainly Xhosas here, mainly so-called coloreds mixed with Malaysian people of Malaysian descent. In this area, mainly the people who were originally there before any black or white person ever came to South Africa. We don't know how they came to be there. They came from nowhere. It's as if they were just plonked there when God created, you know, when Adam and Eve had children or something like that. Or Noah or somebody like that. Here, there is a country here called Botswana. And so a lot of its people had moved over into Northwest Province, and so a lot of Tswanas there. Here's Lesotho, and again, a lot of people gone over the border, and the Sotho's are mainly there. The Swazis here had helped to populate that area, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng is just an amalgamation of all of these. I put that picture up because whenever we talk to people about South Africa, the first thing they ask us is, what about the lions and the tigers? And no, we don't have lions and tigers. We don't have animals living amongst us. Probably the only animals that you will find in our inner cities would be Sylvia and I, foxes, you know. So Johannesburg is a concrete city. It is comparable to New York and Chicago and Atlanta. It is a very modern city. We have KFC and we have McDonald's and we have malls and we have all kinds of different things. Well, here comes a similar challenge to us then as to you. Materialism. Because there's such a lot of money in Gauteng, in that province, Gauteng, and particularly in Johannesburg, we are plagued as much as you are by materialism. We have to find a way of preaching to people beyond their possessions. And it's not easy to do that, but we do that. When a person has everything, when he has a big bank account, when he has a big house, when he is at the top of his career ladder, when he is well spoken of, has a prominent position in society, why does he need God? And so you have to break through that veneer and show him that at the core, he is just a human being who is sinful, fallible, and in need of a salvation. So Johannesburg, in that sense, presents a challenge to us. Another unique thing about South Africa, which is not so prevalent in the United States, except perhaps for Utah, is polygamy. That is a unique challenge to us. It is not officially recognized. You know, officially it is a marriage is between one man and one woman. But unofficially, our government turns a blind eye at people who have multiple wives. The Muslim influence is very great as far as that is concerned. And then the traditional African view is that you may have more than one wife. And so when you preach the gospel, the challenge then is to give people a solution to the dilemma that they're in. Let me give you an example. Here you're preaching to a man who has multiple wives. Now, which one do you say he should put away? We could immediately jump and say, well, let him put away all of the subsequent ones after the first one that he got married to, which would be scriptural. But you know what? That first one would probably be the oldest one. Her children would be grown by now. So she has very little need. And his other three have younger children, and he has to see to them. So his attachment to them is so much greater than to this older woman that he married first. Or if you have a man, perhaps he's a Muslim, perhaps he's a traditional African that you preach the gospel to, and he married two sisters at one wedding ceremony. Which one do you tell him to put away? See, these are unique challenges, and they're not so easy to find a solution to it. But, you know, when we're out in the field preaching the gospel, we rely on the fact that you, brethren, amongst others, are praying for us. I believe that that is what God listens to. Let me tell you a little story. There were two men who were stranded on an island, and both of them were God-fearing and started praying, God, please send a ship or something to save us. Well, the one on the north side, nothing happened. The one on the south side, a ship arrived and picked him up. And the man prayed and said, God, I'm so thankful that you sent the ship to me. The guy on the north side must be very evil because you didn't send the ship to him. And then God replied, you know the reason why I send the ship to you? Because of the prayers of the guy on the north side. I'm not in favor of the Yankees now when I say that. But I want us to understand that when you pray for me, God listens. When I pray for you, God listens. More than when I selfishly go to God and ask him for all kinds of things that I want. You know, it's that I that gets in the way. And so, brethren, please continue in your prayers for us in the spread of the gospel. Continuing with this idea of unity, that is the old South African flag. And the orange, white, and blue are from the Dutch country, Netherlands. They control South Africa. And most of the white Afrikaans-speaking people come from them. You'll see the Union Jack in there. And that was symbolic of Britain having controlled South Africa. But throughout it all, they managed to have some form of unity amongst white people while they try to foster diversity amongst black people. This is our new flag of South Africa. And I want you to look at it very carefully. Because the first time that Sylvia and I came to the United States, we had a little red car that we borrowed from a friend. And we brought with us a little flag from this one, from South Africa, stuck it in the window, and off we went on the freeway, very proud that we are South Africans and our flag is waving in the wind. And a friend of ours stopped us and said, "You're wasting your time. Nobody knows what the flag of South Africa looks like, probably thinks it's a terrorist flag." And so we just took it off. So I want you to know that is our flag. The reason why it has all of these colors, again, symbolizes the different people that we have in South Africa. And we call ourselves the Rainbow Nation. And so, once again, if people from a political point of view can find commonality amongst themselves and incorporate so many colors to show the unity that we have in South Africa, sometimes I wonder, why is it that there are so many divisions in the body of Christ? Of course, I know what the answer is. Some people just teach error. That's the bottom line. But I think we ought to work a lot harder at preventing those kind of things. I think most of you will recognize this old man. He is Nelson Mandela. That was our first president. Second president, Thabo Mbeki. Kgalema Motlanthe was the third one. And this is our present one. And as I said, polygamy is a problem to us. And what just makes it worse is the fact that this president here, our current one, is 70 years old. He has five wives and is looking for the sixth one. So when you have that kind of example from the head of a country, then you can see the kind of problems and challenges that we have in preaching the gospel that says, one man, one woman for life. But I want to talk about unity. This man and this man are Xhosas. This man, I believe, is also Xhosa. I'm not too sure. But this man is a Zulu. And if you know our history, Zulus and Xhosas were always fighting. And yet, we managed to elect different people. Well, why is that? It's because we appreciate what unity does in a country. Whenever a country is divided, it falls. It's true what Jesus says. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so I'll plead to you and to all Christians that we go to is, brethren, and I believe in the United States it's so much easier because you have so many congregations in a particular area. And when you have a difference with your brother, you just say, well, I'm going to leave Hughes Road and I'm going to go over to whatever other congregation there might be. Well, that doesn't make for unity. It makes for division. And so certainly our plea would be, let's get that right. This is our national anthem. The top part is one language, Zulu. The other part is Sesotho, a different language. This is the language of the previous regime, the white Afrikaans-speaking people. And of course, that's in English. I'm not trying to teach you our national anthem. I'm trying to show you that that's what we had done. None of us can sing the national anthem without singing the other person's language. And so again, unity is important to us. The first line of our national anthem is a plea to God. God bless Africa. And I'm sure you're just as proud of your country, the United States. We're very proud of Africa as a continent, and particularly South Africa as a country. And so that's my presentation about the work in South Africa. We've grown quite a bit from 60 in 2009 to 80 in 2012. As I said, it's not just about Sylvia and I going out and doing the work. In fact, if it was, we probably wouldn't have that growth. I've looked into churches that grow and keep on growing. One of the things that I found is that when people come into a community, and this is a community of Christians, they need to have a base where they feel welcome. The only persons who can create that base are the members who invite them. If the preacher or the evangelist is the only one doing the invitations, going out there and living an exemplary life as a Christian, and people come here, they will not feel welcome because they don't have that base on which they could rest. And when they have it, they stay. They are attracted to the gospel. Now, yes, it's the words, it's the message of God. That's what will save us. But I tell you, the atmosphere, the base, the surroundings, those are all important things. When a visitor walks in here who is a stranger, he immediately feels that he's a stranger. And you can go out of your way, but he still does not know you. He only knows the person he lives next door to, who invited him. And that's the person he will form some form of anchorage to.